Father, we worship you. We magnify and praise your holy name. As Isaiah saw you in the temple and high and lifted up, and your glory filled the temple, and the first thing that he began to say is, "Woe is me, for I am a man with unclean lips." And he asked you, Lord, to take, and you took, and you burned the impurity of his lips with the coal from the fire off your altar. Father, I worship you and praise you for everything that Jesus Christ has provided. I thank you, Lord, for this gospel, this one true living gospel, this gospel that has come, this gospel that has come that brought salvation, which teaches us, this grace that teaches us, this one true grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live righteously and soberly. Father, in this present world, Father, I ask you publicly, to forgive me for ever preaching a compromising gospel. Cleanse my lips, purge me, Lord, for any weakness to this gospel that I've added. And across our nation, where ministers will stand up today and preach a compromising gray gospel that allows for the weaknesses of the flesh, seen through their own weaknesses. Lord, forgive us for preaching a gospel that you did not leave. Forgive us for teaching a false gospel. Wash us and cleanse us, Lord, for everything that we've ever said that's contrary to the power of this gospel. Wash us pure, and God, forgive our nation and our preachers that will preach a gospel that teaches a grace that is not the grace that is the grace of truth. Jesus, Jesus, this grace has appeared. I see this grace. It's empowered us to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. And if it can do this, then it also can open the eyes of the blind.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Thank you.
If we can live righteous,
thank you.
We hallelujah. Can also open the eyes of the blind.
Hallelujah.
Father.
Hallelujah.
This grace is sufficient.
Hallelujah.
This grace is sufficient.
Thank you, Jesus.
It has appeared from heaven. Father, let us fear and tremble like we never have before at what we've received. Let us walk in it. Let us not defile it with words of the flesh or the compromises seen through our own mind. Let us speak the truth in love. Build each other up in Christ, speaking this truth one with another. Your grace is sufficient. We give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we want you to greet each other and share just for a few moments. And We're glad for all of our family that's watching today. So blessings to you as well. And stay with us. We've got a wonderful service and we've got some wonderful teaching coming up. So praise the Lord. Amen. Bless each other for just a few moments. All right, I want to remind you that we'll be back here tonight. And we will be continuing to listen to a series by Brother Gary Carpenter. And we invite everyone out there to listen. It's online. You can listen. Tonight's, where we're at, is Blessed Are the Merciful. So those of you that may be following along with us, and we will have the notes tonight. Last week we were off one or two messages, so we had to scrap our notes. So this week we'll have the notes, and we'll have the right ones for you. Hallelujah. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. Is that correct? I'll make sure my dates are right. And, of course, we just want to honor all of our veterans, and we appreciate all of our veterans out there watching. And I don't know how many we may have. I know we've got one in here, Rudy. Yeah. Stand up, Rudy. Yeah, man. All right. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Rudy, for serving this nation. Anybody else that's a veteran in here?
I thought about it.
You thought about it. I know. I know you did, Homer. And your thought is much appreciated. It is so appreciated. I know it passed your mind. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you. I have not said anything about these baby bottles that are in the back. And every year we're asked by the Immokalee Pregnancy Center to participate in this. And what it is kind of it's just a fundraiser. It gives you an opportunity. I wish that I could remember, and I probably will try to get some information to recall. Every year, Candy and I attend the Immokalee Pregnancy Banquet that's in Naples. And they give out all of the stats on what they were able to do in this past year, or the year prior. And this past year was an incredible year. I can't remember how many young women came in there and their lives were changed. Their sons and daughters, whatever they had, were saved alive as a result of walking into the Immokalee Pregnancy Center. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's the Immokalee Pregnancy Center exists. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization ministry that exists in our city. And it provides the opportunity for young ladies to start with to come in and do a pregnancy test. Then they can do a sonogram as their pregnancy actually progresses. And they are from the beginning given the alternative to life. They begin to try to share with them, even if a mother doesn't, you know, says, well, I just can't keep this child, they give an opportunity for that child to be adopted or whatever is necessary. And so it is a very powerful ministry, and they teach the principles of the Word of God, and they persuade young ladies. So please, if you want to pick up one of these bottles, all they ask you to do is just fill it up with your change. But I'd encourage you to fill it up with something more than that, okay? You can fill it up with some good money. And it's our opportunity to bless them each year. It's one of the other things that we do. We do, as a church, support them, and we make an annual donation, but it's still not nearly enough. So I encourage you to do that. So praise the Lord. Amen. Not next week. I think I said last week it'd be a week from this Sunday. I was wrong, of course. But so it's 2 weeks from today is our baptismal service, okay? And we're looking forward. We're going to have a water baptismal service in which several guests, or I shouldn't say guests, family members that are probably watching this morning are going to be coming down. And I say they're family members because they're part of everything that we do here. And we've got five from Alabama that's coming down to be baptized, and we've got a number that are in here. Now, here's the thing. If you are going to be baptized, you have to hear this service. You have to hear this service. You don't have to be here this morning, but you have to hear this service. And I think we've got one out of town that I'm sure she'll hear it when she gets back. But I want everybody to make sure they've said they've, and we've got maybe a couple of younger ones that may be, and I don't know that they have to hear every bit of this service, but I will explain to them in their terms exactly what they are doing 2 weeks from today. So we're excited about that, and we'll have a reception afterwards, and we'll all come back here, and I want you to congratulate these people because it's a very powerful and noble step in their life, as we'll look at this morning through the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's actually the first major step in their walk with Christ. Now, some are getting baptized that have been serving Christ for many years, but they're able to, they're, once we do some of this teaching this morning, they'll also be able to look back in retrospect and say how powerful that they know that their commitment to Christ is as a result of what they have done and will do again 2 weeks from today. So, hallelujah. I want to thank you in advance, all of you, for taking the Lord very serious in your ministry in giving around here. I pray that He touches your heart in a personal manner, whether it's in these services or someplace outside of these walls, that you are seriously contemplating what your position of giving is to this ministry. I know you love it because you're here, and I know you love it if you're watching, and I believe that you believe that it exists for a solemn purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Jesus Christ. We're not trying to build an earthly ministry here. We're not trying to promote a pastor or a leadership, but we are doing our best through His grace to go forward. And so when someone finds that and they find that there's a teaching that is teaching the true gospel, the true grace that has appeared from heaven, then I would encourage you to get behind that and support it with everything you possibly can. So thank you for seriously considering these opportunities. And so with that, we're going to pray. And just pray that in the days ahead, as things progress in your life and as prosperity comes in your life, that you remember this ministry as well. So, Father, we give you all the praise and glory. You've spoken to men and women across this nation and in this house at so many different times, Lord, in such a wonderful way, and so many wonderful things have appeared and come in, just at times almost unexpected to the flesh or to the natural mind. But Lord, we thank you that we know that you're continually dealing with everyone in here and all of us to become the best stewards of your, not only of your word, but of your finances that you bless us with. So again, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that, Lord, that you touch our hearts, and that, Lord, even as we're faithful in serving you in righteousness, that we'll be also faithful in serving you in giving as well. So we bless this time of giving, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. If you have something this morning, the offering buckets will be, or baskets rather, will be placed out. And then greet each other again. If you miss somebody, the kids, obviously, at this time will have an opportunity to go over next door. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, we appreciate everybody that's watching this morning, and we appreciate this capacity crowd. Hallelujah. I have a distraction on the front row. I have two beautiful women here. Can you see me camera-wise? This is very, very hard to preach around. This right here, can you see this? This is Ava. That is my youngest granddaughter, and I've got my youngest granddaughter and beautiful wife sitting on the front row, so it's hard to keep my concentration. Okay, so you pray for me. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Let your prophetic spirit drop on us every single service. Lord, that what we say and do and preach and teach and practice, that in a moment's time, all things are yours, all everything exists in the moment through you. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Every service is orchestrated by you. Step into every service, Jesus. Prophetically speak through every service. We do not have the time. The time is too short. Your coming is too near. That, Lord, that we orchestrate anything of ourselves. Take us past where we're at. Take us into the place of your glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Makarese le karosote. Yes, sir. Makarokerese te. Mehireti alo krose le keritiete. Mokerese didiate le kristete. When I'm pulling on you outside of these walls, when I begin to pull on your spirit, your heart to come aside, and I woo you by my spirit to come into places to get to know me, it is beyond yourself that I am calling for. For I desire fellowship with you, but I desire that out of your fellowship will be produced an intercession through intimacy that brings about this coming outpouring of my spirit. Do not think it lightly, for the mind can easily pass over the wooing invitations. I'll provide the time for you, saith the Lord. If you still away for a half hour or an hour and devote yourself, turn your phones off, walk away from all outside intervention. Yes, you can go and pray and move and have your being in Christ, even in the busiest of working and in the busiest workplace. But that will not satisfy what I'm speaking to you right now. There must be by male and female, there must be by man and woman who desire to come into this place, a place of intimacy where everything is turned off, everything is shut out. And do not judge these times as times having to be as of a length of great ordeal. What I desire more than anything else is obedience. When your heart remembers past tense places of intimacy, when your heart remembers the call that you had from a child, when your heart remembers what I've asked you to do at times where you felt you're closest to me, and at that moment I call you to come away and I provide that moment and you see that it is possible, I'm asking for your obedience, saith the Spirit of grace, for I will use these times to congregate my body together in one spirit and in one mind, saith the Spirit of the Lord. For I desire that when you come into this place, that a glory comes with you. I am pleased, saith the Lord, with where you're at. But you have not yet even begun to see the glory that I desire to pour out on this house. Will you come to the place where the glory comes so strong that you're not able to stand? And those who you bring in from the very beginning will begin to know that my power is in this house. I will go from this place and I will springboard into many other places, saith the Lord. The day and hour will come. The day and hour will come, saith the Spirit of the Lord, that the greatest problem that you have is to know where to put the people. But do not set your eyes upon people. Do not set your eyes on growth. Do not set your eyes on success. Do not set your eyes on anything of this world, for it is not successful in numbers. I disdain the talk of numbers as to what is success, saith the Spirit of grace. But my success is to know me. My success is to walk into me. My success is to have a bride that is purifying her garments daily with the washing of the water of my word, saith the Spirit of grace. For this is a season where the washing of the water of my word is washing over you. You have been washed by my blood for one time as you were purified unto salvation. But know this, the washing of the water of my word is a continual thing. It is a continual thing whereby you might be cleansed of those things of the flesh. So continually adhere to my word. Continually love my word. And when I say come away with me. For I am looking for a corporate anointing that will shake this house in the days ahead, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We receive it, Lord. We receive it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Would you sing this? Oh, the blood of Jesus. 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 It washes white as snow. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Lord. We magnify you. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. All the glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're on water baptism this morning. And this is lesson 9 of Beyond Born Again. We're all the way back. We're going to include this on this series because this should be part of it, because we talked on baptisms. Actually, that whole series was out of this scripture. Don't turn there. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So we're teaching things that the writer of Hebrews said should have been the first principles. So we've taught on the spiritual baptism. This morning we're going to teach on water baptism, and really they're so extremely close. Hallelujah, Jesus. Last Sunday was good. I had a good time talking about drinking and non-drinkers. Hallelujah. And spelling out just real perfectly where we are as a church, what our doctrine is as a church. Hallelujah. And what I expect of our leaders. And so praise the Lord. That was really, really good. Amen. So we enjoyed it. Hallelujah. So this morning we're going to talk about water baptism. And so I want you to turn with me to some scripture. This, to start with, this is going to be ABC 1, 2, 3 for some of you, like real easy peasy kind of stuff. But it is the foundation of our walk with Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 28. To start with, let me ask the question that we're going to answer right now is, why do we water baptize? Why do we baptize in water? Well, Jesus commanded us to do that. So to start with, I know this, if Jesus tells you to do something and you're his follower, you should do it. Amen. Even if we didn't have the understanding behind it, if Jesus said do it, we should do it. Amen. So Matthew 28, 18 says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we've talked a lot about use that particular verse of Scripture to talk about this is a direct word against the heresy that is often taught today by many hyper-grace teachers that you cannot, and they will say it directly and they'll put it on their websites, you cannot receive all the words or believe all the words of Jesus that he spoke as believing them to you, the born-again believer, that you cannot accept them as they were given to you as the born-again, to the born-again believer. And that many of them will tell you that just like things that we're listening to, the Sermon on the Mount that is being taught by Brother Gary, and we're listening to that on a weekly basis on Sunday night, they'll say those were not intended, those teachings were not intended to the church. And they'll tell you that the only teachings were the ones that that Jesus did after the cross. Well, he didn't hardly teach at all after the cross. I mean, there's very little. There's almost zilch there, okay? I mean, once he got up and got ready to leave, he was just given some final acknowledgments of, you know, just do what I said. That's all he was saying at the end. You know, once the party's over, it's like, you know, I'm not going to teach all this again. Just do it. Do what I said. So, I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's just, I mean, it's just absolute heresy to the nth degree, and it will cause, and it's not one of those heresies that you just look at and say, well, bless their hearts, they mean better. No, those are heresies that will cause people to go to hell. You'll just absolutely burn in the lake of fire if you begin to follow those things and take them all the way out. So this is one of those verses, you know, whatsoever, teaching them to observe all things, all my teachings, whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, one of those teachings is the one that he just said here in his last great commission, or one of those commandments, rather, is baptize people. Baptize them in water. And Jesus said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now go to Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at pretty much the same thing again, but in just a little different manner. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said, that's Jesus, unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. The scriptural way, and I'm just going to go through some things just straightforward for a moment, and then we'll get into some more doctrine. The scriptural way to baptism is total immersion. So that's one thing we have to understand. That's one thing that you'll see in 2 weeks from now. We won't be sprinkling anybody because the word baptism is baptismo, which means to immerse, to submerge, to overwhelm with water, to completely put under. So in what name, this is another just straightforward understanding of what we'll be doing in the next couple of weeks when we do baptize everyone. In what name do we baptize? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we see both things there mentioned, the baptism of water, with water, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, Peter called it. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off meaning not just far off geographically, far off and numerically, down the road, as far as every generation that'll ever appear, that's you and I, 2019. as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his words were baptized. They were water baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to mark right here and tell you this, that in the days ahead, we're going to have some large numbers that will be added to the church all at once. Hallelujah. And those are the services that they had in the beginning. Those are the we're going to have some of those services, and we're going to be planning on baptizing a lot of people thereafter at once. And so all of you preachers, get ready. Get ready to start baptizing people, because it's going to be like that in the days ahead. There is a power that we're going to talk about this morning concerning baptism that was at first exemplified by our Lord and Savior, the first begotten from the dead, that is a carry through to all that are to be baptized with water. And we're going to talk about the power of that in just a little bit. Water baptism should not just be seen as a tradition of the first church, but should be carried out as an act of power and obedience to all generations. To a church or any denomination or any people that says that was a tradition, I don't know how you get away from the words of Jesus. He just blankly said, you baptize them, just absolutely baptize them. And he said in Matthew 28:19 that we just read, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Well, somebody will say, well, wait a minute. He said, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And just a month later, it was just hardly a month, about 40 days later, the disciples just totally, that were wanting to be obedient, just totally ignored what he said, or just totally forgot what he said, and said to the crowd of 3,000, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, they didn't forget, and they weren't in rebellion. There has been some of the craziest and the weirdest doctrines that have ever come out on the planet by men who did not understand what was going on here. They'll teach, wait a minute, how have you been baptized? Well, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Good. How have you been baptized? In the name of Jesus. Oh my God, you're hardly saved. Or you might have a curse on you. Or I know why your prayers haven't been being answered. I know why you're not getting healed. Why? Because you got baptized in the wrong way. Come on. Do you think the disciples that were following his commission just totally turned around and said, we're mixed up. We don't know. We'll just start our own way of doing this. Of course not. Absolutely, of course not. What this was telling us here is that the disciples simply recognized the full, what Jesus was saying is, baptize them in the full authority of God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three in one. Baptize them in the full authority of God. The disciples were simply recognizing the full authority of the Godhead rested in Christ. Colossians 2:9 says this, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all their authority are all invested in this one living being, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's got the full authority. I'm walking around with full authority. And so these disciples recognize this, and the word says in Colossians 2:10, you're complete in him, which is the head of principalities and powers. Well, what does that mean doctrinal-wise, Pastor? Well, it means stay away from foolishness. You know, there's total denominations that are built on which way do you baptize. Are you Jesus only? Are you Trinity? Or do you believe in, you know, how have you been baptized? Because it makes all the difference in the world. Well, first of all, I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you. Your baptism, your water baptism, does not constitute your spiritual salvation. Water will not born you again. Water does not save you. You can be baptized this week, next week, and every week from here on after, and still not be born again. I love the story. I don't love it as in fact, it's a very difficult story to comprehend and to listen to, but you can listen to it. Google it this afternoon, not in this service. You can read it or you can listen to it because it's listed several times. It's online several different places. A man that I love so much, which was a father of faith, which was Kenneth E. Hagin. He has gone on to be with the Lord now. And Kenneth E. Hagin had a heart condition. He had an overlarged heart as a small. You got to hear his testimony. I used to hear his testimony all the time, and I just love to hear his voice, how it would squeak and it'd be real high. And somebody's looking it up right now, but let's do it after service, okay? He would talk about, as a young Baptist boy, I was on the bed of affliction. And as a young Baptist boy, he was dying. He was dying, and he was dying on a bed of affliction. The doctors were coming in. And he said that he had joined the church, and he had been water baptized. And at 15 years old, he had an experience that he says, I don't know if it was death or what it was, but he said, I was laying there, and he'll give you all. I just love to hear him talk because he talks about, I was in the east bedroom of the such and such a house on such and such, I think it's Kenny Drive in whatever town that was in Texas. I mean, he gives you right down, and he'll tell you almost the time and the hour that took place. He said, Mama was in there, Grandma was in there, and I was really sick, and I was getting close to dying. And he said, all of a sudden, I felt myself real funny, real funny. And I just began to slip out of my body, and he said, I was laying there, and I slipped out of my body. And I began to descend. He said, I went down, I went through the floor of our house. Real neat story. Yeah, it's neat, but it's scary. He said, I went through the floor of our house, and I just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and things kept getting darker and darker and darker. And he said, I was just traveling, I wasn't making this happen, it just was happening. And I got closer, and I got down into a place where everything got real dark. But then he said, I was looking over into something, and he said, I could see that it was part of it was being, as I got closer to it, it got more light. I could see more a flicker. But what he said I began to see is what was causing things to lighten up were flames. And he said these flames were lighting up a place. And he said there was a threshold. There was some kind of gate there or a door. And he said, I knew that that was hell, and I knew that on the other side of that, if I ever made that journey onto the other side of that gate, that place, I was never coming back. Nobody would get me back. And he said something, I don't know what it was, I didn't look at it, he said something just grabbed hold of my right arm. A spirit can touch a spirit. I can't touch one. If it was an angel standing here, I couldn't touch him. But a spirit can touch a spirit, because that's what they're, same DNA that they're made out of. So he said, this thing grabbed me by my right arm and began to pull me towards these flames. And I knew if I ever crossed over that gate, he said, into that door room, I'd never come back. Nobody could get me back. Well, he said, I began to do everything I possibly could. He said, I was calling on the Lord. And he said, then all of a sudden, he said, I started coming back up. And he said, I'd come up, and he said, then this thing had to turn loose of me. And he said, I come up, back up into the house, come right up through the floor, come right up into the floor, from the floor into my body. Well, he said, he tells this story. He said it happened three times. He said, I laid there a minute, and Mama and Grandma was praying for me. And he said, oh, God, Mama, it's going to happen again. I can feel myself again. I can't stop it. I don't know what's happening. And he said, I couldn't stop it. It just happened the second and third time. And he said, they were standing there looking at me, trying to help me. But he said, I just stepped out of my body, couldn't help it. And he said, I did the same thing, that same thing. And he said, I got close, real close each time. The third time, he said, he said, I come up right through the front porch of the house. I just come right up through the front porch, stepped right over into the bedroom, and then right into my body. But the amazing part was, he said this. He was throwing a fit down there. He's throwing a fit because he knew that he was real close to going to hell. He was 15 years old. Somebody said, oh, 15 years old. Yeah, 15 years old. But he was yelling out, crying out to God, and he said, I have joined the church, and I have been baptized, water baptized. Well, that still wasn't going to keep him from going to hell. He was right on the verge. And mama and grandma and people were able to pray him back up. And of course, when he came back up, he later got born again. But I can tell you this, coming into this church, walking into that door, sitting down in this pew, listening to these messages, going into water and coming out of water, unless you have been born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's powerful. He went on to be a very powerful man of God. Very powerful. Water baptism doesn't save you, nor does church save you. You must be born again. Hallelujah. The bottom line is that you can be baptized either way. Baptized either way. It doesn't matter. I'll usually say something like this, just to help everybody. This is what we'll do in 2 weeks. I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in the name of the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We got them all. How could you miss it? Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. You can do it either way. All it is doing is recognizing the full authority of God Himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Do I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus? No. Do I have been baptized in the name of Jesus? No. No, you're okay if you are born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The doctrine of spiritual baptism is the foundation for water baptism. Now, let me cover some of that because it's been so many weeks. Actually, it was back in April 14th that we covered this. So let me just talk about the doctrine of spiritual baptism for just a few moments, because that is what we do physically is a representation, but much more what I want you to see and what I want all of us to see is that baptism is not just a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing, it's a spiritual experience, and it is an incredible commitment to serving the Lord for the rest of your life. I don't know until somebody proves themselves or disproves themselves. And I'd rather err on the side of accepting people. But I can tell you this, if a person is baptized and then just goes right back out into the world and we never see them again, they were not ready for this commitment. This commitment of baptism is something that is the first major testimony before yourself, God, angels, demons, everything that lives and breathes, that I have sold myself out completely to serving Him. I know no other but to follow Him for the rest of my life. Amen. So let's turn to Romans chapter 6 for just a moment, because I want to go over this with you for just a moment, how important it is, once again, just to rehearse, to renew some understanding concerning concerning the spiritual baptism. When I say a spiritual baptism, the spiritual baptism is the forerunner, or it is actually a foundation to what happens to us physically when we make this commitment. Romans 6:1 says this, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound?" I said several weeks ago, well, a lot of the modern day church says, yeah, that's a good idea. Let me skip over. I'm kind of reading through my notes here as I go along, because I just want to catch for you and those of you that are watching the main parts so you'll remember. When we were baptized spiritually into Christ, that is when we were, of course, born again or made a new creation. Romans 6:3 says, "Know ye not that as so many of us that were baptized," look at that, verse 3, "that were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death." Now, some would argue that this is a baptism, that they were talking about water baptism. That could only be the fruit of it, Because water baptism is only the testimony of the spiritual baptism into Christ that takes place in the spirit realm. Water baptism, as we've said already today, water baptism cannot baptize you into his death. Only the Holy Spirit, through the life of Christ, Jesus, can baptize you into death and resurrect you into life. You don't have to turn here, but I'll tell you this. The Word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature, or the word is creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. At that moment in time, the new things were not a new address, nor the way that you dressed or where you went to church. The newness was the new you that came into existence. This describes our baptism in Christ. Notice that the Word says, so many of us, when it says, know you not that so many of us, in verse 3, were baptized into Jesus Christ. The word so many of us is hoas, which means reduplication. Hoas means to be reduplicated. When we were baptized into Christ, we were duplicated or reduplicated as to be just like him. He's the first. He's the prototype. Now I am a duplication of him. Hallelujah. This includes everyone that it will ever. It wasn't just talking about those to whom Paul was writing. He was talking about everyone, as many as the Lord God should call, as far off to our sons and daughters and everyone that would ever be born again. Verse 4 says, therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Notice that it says here that we are buried with him. At the moment, now please catch this, I know I'm going a little fast here, but at the moment of this spiritual baptism in Christ, we are together. Together who? Together with him. We're together with him in our spiritual baptism. Doctor, I'll call him a doctor. He's well worth the accolade because he's a doctor that carries it real well. Dr. Jim Martin says this, that the Greek spells out that at that moment in time when you accept Jesus, God being timeless, that in God's not just in his imagination, but in God's reality. See, God's reality is different than our reality. In God's reality, at that moment in time, any and every individual, millions of them that come down the chain, whatever and whenever they receive Christ, they are at that moment translated, I don't know if that's the right word, but they are together with Christ, seen as together with Christ, going into his spiritual death, so that like as Christ was raised from the dead, we ourselves are raised from the dead. It happens in a timelessness that you and I can't even imagine. Somebody said it's very symbolic. No, this is beyond symbolism. This is reality. This is a God reality. The moment that you're born again, you go with him back in time to that spiritual death, and then you're raised together in his likeness. I love that. Isn't that great? That's very powerful. That's the God that we serve. Each person that is born again has this experience by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just like that. It's in a microsecond. Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and that whole experience takes place. 4 again says, we're buried with him by baptism into death, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. The Word says in 5, for if we be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, I know there's some italicized words there, and we discussed them a few weeks ago. We are planted together, together with who? Together with him. Hallelujah. Everybody say this. I was planted together with Christ in spiritual death, that as in his likeness, I've been raised to spiritual life. Amen. Hallelujah. If we have become one with him by sharing a death like his, we shall also, the Amplified says, be one with him in sharing his resurrection by a new life lived for God. Hallelujah. Knowing this, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old person that you once were was crucified with him, so that body of sin, the dynamo body, the body here is the word soma, and it's talking about the whole body, the literal body. But here in this particular setting, as I looked this up and followed it through the Greek, it just amplified something that we already know. This has a wide application, but in the reference to the Greek, in this particular setting, it is called the seat of sinful affections and appetites. In other words, something died. See, two things happened. You not only were resurrected in life, but simultaneously, that old person had to be destroyed. That old dynamo, Pastor Dave used to call it the dynamo. If you told people to stop sinning, if they had the nature that they used to have, that's an injustice. But immediately that person that they once were died with Christ, but now when they were resurrected in new life. That old person, now we talk about a continual dying to the flesh, and that's a daily washing of the water of the word. That's fasting and prayer. That's choices. But that has everything to do with this outward man and an unrenewed mind. The reason why that we have the authority to do that is because the person that once was in existence, that was the real you, we call him the real you now, that person has been forever changed. That person can crank out righteousness because it is true righteousness, true holiness, and righteousness according to Ephesians. Hallelujah. So I think that renews kind of where we're at, is talking about spiritual things. That's the spiritual baptism. That's the spiritual part. That's the part that takes place prior to a physical baptism in water. Hallelujah. So water baptism is not, and we understand this, but let me say it again, it is not our salvation. What is our salvation? Simply put, Romans 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, the heart, you hear it, and the heart says, yes, I forgive, or I ask your forgiveness, come into my life. It really begins there. And then what just completes the whole cycle is your confession. But salvation comes as the heart, the inward man, is yielded to God. I mean, case in point, if somebody cut your tongue out before you were ever able to say the sinner's prayer, does that mean you're damned for eternity? Absolutely not, because you could still believe in your heart. If you could confess, you should confess, but the confession is just something that has happened in your heart. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the water baptism of Jesus. This is very, very important. Matthew 3:13. This is when Jesus himself was baptized. Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? That's a question. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer or allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, or suffered him, or went along and baptized him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus himself was not, this is very important for us to understand, when he made this declaration, when he made this commitment, he had not yet even started his earthly ministry. He's about to start it. He's about to go from here into the wilderness, fast 40 days, 40 nights, meet Satan, come back out and start his public ministry. But what we have to understand, I thought Gary Carpenter has done an excellent job on bringing out all of the truth and nuances on this, and it has built so much of our going forward doctrine on what this commitment really was in the life of Jesus Christ when he stood before John and stood in Jordan that day and was baptized. Jesus himself was not coming out of spiritual death, but was vowing to go into spiritual death and to be resurrected. See, ours is we've come out of spiritual death and we're making a testimony of what has happened to us, but Jesus Christ was born into this world spiritually alive. He was born again later on at the end of his existence here on earth because he died spiritually. But at this point, he's spiritually alive. He came into his human existence spiritually alive. So he's not doing this as in coming out. He's going in. He's about to go into spiritual death. And he makes this vow before God that I will commit myself to what you have called me to do. I will follow you, and I want to make this testimony, and I know what is about to happen to me in the next few years of my life. I am going into spiritual death for all of humanity. But I want you to know, Father, as a solemn vow before you, all of heaven and earth and all of your angels and all of devils that are watching, I intend, and without any interruption, with no thought of being interrupted, I will complete my task. I will do what you've called me to do. I will not try to do what you've called me to do. I will not give a good effort to what you've called me to do. I will complete. I promise to you, I vow before you, I will complete this task. That's what his baptism was. Jesus made this vow not in the spirit of the spirit of death or the spiritual death, but in life, the same life that is present within us. See, that's what we've got to understand when we understand how powerful this is. We don't want you to just understand the strong symbolism of what you're doing. We also want you to understand the second part, that you're following him. You followed him into spiritual death, and you've been resurrected, but you're also following him in the likeness of his resurrection power and in the power of a born-again nature making a commitment to follow him forever. You are not making a commitment to follow Christ forever out of a death nature. That would be an injustice. Now you're making a commitment to follow him after your water baptism through the same spirit that he had. It is the same spirit of righteousness, the same spirit of holiness. It is not diminished at all. Not diminished at all. See, one of the things that the church has, and I think it's difficult for all of us at times, unless we're washed continually by the water of the word, is that we think even though we know that Jesus, even though we preach Jesus was a human being, and he won through his life nature as a human being. He never ever resisted the devil, sin, through any part of his Godhead, any part of his deity. He did it all through his humanity, through the life that was in him. And the vow that he made that day was through his humanity, through the life that was in him. So he's saying to God, I will complete this. Not because I've got the umph of the Godhead with me or in me, but because I am who you made me to be from the origin of life. And so that's the same commitment that we can make. That's the same commitment that we can live out of. And I think sometimes the church feels like, yeah, but Jesus had a little bit more. You'd have to intertwine the God. You'd have to put some God over in his human spirit for that to be. And That's just impossible. Your born again spirit has just as much quality and quantity of life when it was born again as Jesus Christ when he came into this world. Equal to, absolutely equal to, none diminished. Hallelujah. So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying this. If Jesus could make the commitment, I will follow you to the end, we can make that commitment. And that's what every candidate that is baptized and resurrected, they're resurrected not only in the life of knowing that all things have passed away, behold, all things have become new, but they're following him in a commitment that resembles everything that they will be for the rest of their life. This is why Mark 16:16. Let me read this. I got ahead of myself. We'll read that in just a moment. It was as when Jesus was baptized, Jesus was saying to his Father, "I will never turn back." Let me read these. "I will never turn back from my commitment to follow you all the way, no matter what it costs me. I vow myself all the way to death." It was if, now I've heard Gary say this, and I've tried to repeat kind of close to what he says. It's as if a gavel came down in the court of heaven with a judgment that God declared, "This is an absolute truth. I see your heart. I see your heart. You're physically doing something, but I see your heart. You've made the absolute commitment all the way to the end. I see my son making a physical vow of the very spiritual thing that he will complete. He will go all the way, and he is my son in whom I am well pleased." Out of that came that pronouncement. Water baptism by the believer is the same commitment that Jesus made before God. It is the commitment before God, humanity, self, and all spiritual beings, angels and demons, that you will never stop serving him in the power of his resurrection and in the power of his righteousness in you. Water baptism is not only a physical reenactment of the spiritual baptism that the believer has experienced, but it is also a promise before the world to live for Christ until the day of one's death. This is why the lifestyle of Christianity is so weak today. Because they don't understand baptism. Because they preach they don't preach baptism, or they preach it through their gospel. And this is why the lifestyle of Christianity is so weak today. Because the vow unto death is no longer practiced unto by the hearts, in the hearts. Receiving Christ, truly receiving Christ, and following him is a vow unto death. It's not a try. I'm going to try. That sounds so good. Well, you can only try as much as you can. No, there's something far beyond trying. It's following him in the power of his resurrection. If I say to a man, "Are you going to be faithful to your wife for the rest of your life? Are you going to ever commit adultery?" "Well, Pastor, I'm going to try." Man, you are to, as a wife, you are to put one of these right across his lips. "You're going to try? Well, all I can do is try." No, there's something far greater than trying. There's doing. Following him is in the power of his resurrection. And the church is weak, and the preachers are weak, and they preach a gospel through their interpretation, through their own weaknesses. They present the gospel. They present it painted and tallied underneath their own weaknesses, and so they've got to conform it to this, and they got to give a little gray there and a little gray there. "I'm going to try to be faithful. I will be faithful unto this woman to the day that I die, because I live in him and I move and have my being in him." Hallelujah, Jesus. This is why Mark 16, now listen, if you took Mark 16:16 totally literally, you'd have to think that water baptism is part of your actual spiritual salvation. Because Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized, point blank, will be saved." Well, is that true, Pastor? But it goes on to say, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." The water baptism does not save you, but it is a strong confession that you choose to serve Him in righteousness for the rest of your life. It went together like bread and butter because it was intertwined, because once you accept Him, you were not saying, I'm going to try. The church has got a big high fives, bless your heart, you're trying. Don't try. Do. Why? Because you can. If you hang around weak people, you'll talk weak. If your pastor's weak, you'll be weak. If you hang around elders that are weak, and we got to drink a beer every once in a while. That's just, we're trying. No, you're a weak, mealy mouth, milk toast, panty waist, no power to resist sin. And if you don't have power to resist sin, you'll never open the eyes of the blind. Glory be. Well, glory. Don't. That man is he incites riots. He gets things going. Hallelujah. It is not a commitment to try and follow. It is a commitment. A commitment to try and follow is built. When you say that, it sounds good. And somebody said, well, how can you blame somebody? You know what? Because that is built on human willpower. Human willpower. Your human willpower, if you're going to try with your own human willpower, you will run short. You'll cheat on her. You'll drink your liquor. You'll do your whatever you do. The commitment to surrender one's life all the way until the end is built upon the finished work of Jesus that is without weakness and complete. Water baptism is not taught and practiced in the church world so much today because it is a reflection of the gospel that is being preached. Whoever believeth and is baptized, well, that is... Again, baptism, water baptism does not save you, but it is a strong commitment to what you have just received. This belief and commitment were so closely intertwined. The church is so powerless because the gospel being preached is so powerless. No one believes that they can make a commitment to live godly for the rest of their life. Oh, man, what are you talking about? Can I live godly for the rest? I mean, totally for the rest of my life? It starts out... It starts out with a mixture of man's doctrine, which allows for the weaknesses of the flesh in the way that the gospel is taught. Instead of teaching a powerful gospel that elevates the believer above sin because of what they have become in Christ, the modern day gospel teaches an interpretation of the gospel to the believer through the eyes of the experience of the flesh. Thank you. We're not to teach a gospel based on our experience. Well, Pastor, it's my experience. I don't care. Sister, I love you. Brother, I love you. But you can flush your experience down the toilet. I don't care how hard you've tried, not been able to make it. This word tells me something greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, is there blood? Yes, there's blood. There's blood. There's blood for repentance. We can repent of, but you sabotage, you take that thing, cock that pistol, and shoot yourself from the get-go. If something inside your brain says, I'm just going to have to sin from time to time, you don't have to sin because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. If you begin to believe a weak gospel, you'll follow that weak gospel in your entire life. You're sabotaged. Your programming is wrong. You're done from the get-go. I don't care about your experience. I don't care about it. I don't care about my own experience. I used to meditate the word and think about what I've gone through and how I've handled it. And a lot of the inflections of that was based on my own weaknesses. Listen, the word stands alone. You preach the word. The word is the standard in which we come to. It doesn't come to us. Hallelujah. When the gospel is taught by preachers through the eyes of their own flesh, it is brought to a lower standard. The mottos of, and they sound, this sounds good, the mottos of try to serve the Lord, give it your best effort, do your best, no one's perfect. And so many of those mottos give an excuse to the flesh. While, and I said this, I exhorted them, but I'll read it. While the true gospel is filled, and I'm talking about filled with continual mercy for the repented temporary failures, it does not sabotage the believer with the mindset that they are to try to serve the Lord with their best effort. Water baptism is a commitment to do more than just try. It is a commitment to go all the way. And as I said, if you start out weak, you will be weak, if your mindset is that. We have taught, let me just go back to this. We have been taught that Jesus never instructed his disciples to pray for the sick, but rather to go heal them. Remember? We taught that, we started a year or so ago, and that was kind of a new mindset for me. You can't find it. You go look for it. You can't find it. Jesus did not instruct the church to go pray for the sick. He didn't tell them to do that. He gave them, go heal the sick. Amen. Well, aren't you just cutting, you know, no. One's a mindset to go give it a good college, university try. I tried. One is an empowerment that you will do this because you can do this because I've empowered you. Go heal them. If you start out the door, I'm going to go try. We're going to go try to pray. We're going to go pray for so-and-so, and it's in the Lord's hands. Oh, no. You're going out there with a kick and you're behind. You're going out there with an umph. I'm not going to pray for them. There's no such thing as praying for people in healing. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to get them up out of that sick bed. Well, that same mentality runs over in the way we think about sin as well. To go and pray for the sick is to go and to give our best effort in bringing healing to their life. Jesus commissioned us to go beyond our best effort. He commissioned us to put our trust in his completed work. The reason why there has been so little power, now please listen to this, the reason why there has been so little power in miracles is because the same gospel that opens blind eyes is the same gospel. It's the same one that empowers an individual to live a sinless life. When we preach a gospel that allows for sin in the flesh through the excuse of weakness and just trying our best, we teach a less gospel. If our gospel is weak in righteousness, it will also be weak in the power for miracles. If Jesus does not hold absolute power through his grace to help us live sinless lives, neither does he have absolute power over sickness. When the church sees Jesus as the Lord that has the power over sin in the believer through the new nature, it will also interpret that power to rule over all sickness. Glory to God. And we're getting closer, people. We're getting closer. We are to see ourselves forever married to Jesus. Never be an adulterer with the world. I laugh again at any thought of a married man saying, I'm going to try. Should give him a left hook with a right cross, okay? The answer is absolute, because in your heart, you make that commitment all the way to the end. Water baptism is not only a testimony before all the world of what has happened in your life, but it is a solemn vow of your commitment to go all the way to the end. Hallelujah. It's the first big, powerful testimony in a person's life. Hallelujah. And it's
you know, as I said, others are doing it again because as a child, they did it and they want to again enjoy this commitment. Would you stand with me this morning? Did you get anything? Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for those that are coming. I can't wait to see you guys in Alabama. You guys are going to come down here. We're going to have a great time. You'll be with family. And all of everybody that's watching, we got some great friends in Georgia and some people all over the place that are part of this family. We love all of you so much. We bless this family here and those family members out there. Thank you for this gospel that we know and understand. It is not a gospel, Lord, that is mean. It's filled with love, but it has no timidity. It is filled with the life and the grace of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We commit this day into you, and we thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen. Don't forget the baby bottles in the back. You can take one of them. You don't have to fill it out today, but just over the next couple of weeks. We're going to pick them up on Father's Day.